They know.
They died out, obviously, and that may be simply because their heads were so big that babies' heads had a hard time fitting through the birth canal. Maybe too many Boscot babies died in childbirth.
So I guess it doesn't always pay to have a big brain.
Maybe not.
This moment of science comes from Indiana University.
Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Shear, with help from Richard Granger at Dartmouth College. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. I'm Yael Cassander.
And I'm Don Glass.
In sports, Game 5 in the World Series is going to be played tonight in Philadelphia. And with a win, the Phillies can close out the Tampa Bay Rays. The Phillies took a 3-1 lead last night with a 10-2 win. This evening's NFL contest is taking place in Nashville as the Tennessee Titans entertain Indianapolis. The Titans are the NFL's last unbeaten team this season, while the Colts are 3-3. The NFL is investigating between 6 and 8 players for violating the league's drug policy by taking a weight loss diuretic that is considered a masking agent for steroids. A person familiar with the case has told the Associated Press the number of players involved, saying earlier estimates of a higher figure were untrue. The NHL is back in action tonight after taking Sunday off. The schedule includes the Rangers playing the Islanders. Buffalo is home to Ottawa. Detroit is in Los Angeles for a game with the Kings. Boston skates at Edmonton. Chicago plays at Minnesota. And Columbus is home to Anaheim. And the NBA kicks off the new season tomorrow night. The champion Boston Celtics open up their season with the home game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Meanwhile, the Bulls will host Milwaukee. That's sports.
WILL programs are made possible in part by Bevere Cafe 2, offering gourmet sandwiches, salads, and specialty coffees with seating inside or outside in the lower courtyard of the Institute for Genomic Biology next to Morrow Plots on the U of I campus.
It's 2:42. The two candidates for Champaign County Auditor say county finances are on shaky ground, and the global economic crisis may make matters worse. Each candidate says he's the best choice to keep an eye on those finances for the next 4 years. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
What does the county auditor do? Here's the job according to the Democratic auditor, Tony Fabry.
The auditor's office is the watchdog for Champaign County government finances.
And this is Republican County Board member Brad Jones.
The auditor really should be holding the county board accountable on wasteful spending. That should be the primary task of the auditor.
The candidates don't seem too far apart until they talk about who's the best man for the job. Jones says Champaign County needs a proactive auditor with a strong financial background. Jones has an MBA and years of experience as a financial advisor. He says, in contrast, Fabry lacks the background needed to be a strong auditor.
The board members just have the opinion that when he provides a financial number, that it's just, we always want to make sure that that's correct data. And I know that that happened once in a finance meeting where he provided numbers on accounts payable over at the nursing home that were asked to be provided. He provided those, and those numbers weren't actually correct. And Deb Busey corrected him in one of our finance committee meetings. So it's kind of frustrating that, you know, we need somebody that can come in and actually have the ability to give us the correct numbers there.
Fabry says there was no mistake at that meeting, just different ways of crunching the numbers. He says he looked at the cost of contract services rendered at the nursing home during the last fiscal year, while Deb Busey looked at money paid out, some of it for contracts from the year before. Fabry, who has a law degree, says that as auditor, his skills enhance those of the financial professionals on his staff who do the bookwork.
I think the skill I bring is when something is red flagged by one of the accountants, I make the decision on how serious of a violation is this and how best to handle it, and then go fight the battle that, honestly, a lot of the accountants, you know, don't want to go fight the battle with the other department heads or the other elected officials. I think they want to get back to doing accounting. And so, you know, the accountants can do accounting, and I do the work of enforcing county policies.
Fabry says most of that enforcement pits him against department heads and countywide elected officials. But Fabry says he also warned the county board more than a year ago about the county nursing home's reliance on expensive contract nurses to cover for staff shortages.
When I went to the county board, again, over a year ago to talk about overspending on the outside contract nursing, I think county board members didn't want to hear it. I know my opponent, Brad Jones, sent out a press release saying that I was creating a fake budget crisis. And anything the past year has taught any of us is that this is not a fake budget crisis. The troubles of the nursing home are very real.
Jones says Fabry hasn't been pointing out problems to county officials often enough and blames it on party politics. Fabry is a Democrat, and Democrats have controlled the Champaign County Board for most of this decade. Jones says that's not a good combination.
For years, the Republicans controlled the county board, and we always had a Democrat auditor. This kind of served as a check and balance. Now we've got the Democrat board and the Democrat auditor, but even more so, the auditor is beyond that is also the chairman of the Democratic Party. So again, people need to realize that as chairman, he appoints board members when there's a vacancy. He helps fund the campaigns of these board members. He's just, in that position, going to be reluctant to criticize the actions of these board members.
But Fabry says as Democratic Party chairman, he plays no role in recommending nominees to fill vacant county board seats and only a small role in campaign spending decisions. Fabry says the main check and balance relationship in the auditor's job is not with the county board, but with department heads and countywide elected officials. And in Champaign County, most of those officials are Republicans. Tony Fabry is running for his first full term as Champaign County Auditor. He was appointed to the post last year after his predecessor, Mike Frericks, was elected to the Illinois Senate. Brad Jones is making his second bid for auditor after losing to Frericks in 2004. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Picture this. Cupcakes in a row, iced with yellow frosting, then jelly beans in shades of yellow and white are lined up on top of the icing. Sweet cupcakes disguised as sweet corn. Put these on the table, and those who gather round will do a double take. And that's just for starters. How about fashioning cupcakes to look like a TV dinner? Or space aliens? Or owls? Or a pumpkin patch? You'll find instructions for these and dozens of other fanciful cupcakes in the book, Hello, Cupcake, Irresistibly Playful Creations Anyone Can Make. Here's essentially what you need: cupcakes, frosting, Ziploc bags, scissors, and assorted candies and sprinkles. The authors of Hello, Cupcake are Karen Tack and Alan Richardson, and they join me this afternoon to offer us some ideas on what we might conjure up with the harvest theme and what we might do with the Halloween treats the kids come home with or are left over from treating the kids who come to our door Friday night. Karen, Alan, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having us.
My pleasure. How did this start?
Well, Alan and I have...
We've been working together for years as a photographer and food stylist, and Karen has all these crazy ideas in her head. And, you know, it's hard to keep them in there, right, Karen?
He has some crazy ideas, too. I'm not...
You two are people who like to play with your food.
Yeah, exactly.
We do.
So what...
We've been working together for years and doing a lot of cakes, and we wanted to do something together and thought, well, you know, we've been doing a lot of cupcakes lately. Let's try out the cupcakes. It's kind of a new untouched palette, and we just had so much fun adding and coming up with more ideas.
Yeah, and cupcakes right now, it seems to me, they're really hot.
Aren't they?
Yeah, everybody is getting in on the cupcake thing.
Yep. Well, it's, you know, that perfect portion size.
Yeah.
And I think because it's been around for years. I mean, you know, from the Hostess cupcake and, you know, from when we were kids, having just a little swirl of frosting and some sprinkles. But there's so much more that we can do with them.
What makes it so much fun for us is that they're so playful to begin with. And then taking them and adding candy to them really, really ups the ante. It makes them a lot more fun.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about... how you come up with these creations, how you came up with them. And, you know, when someone says, hey, this will be easy, you know, I have my doubts. what's tell us a little bit about the building blocks, and then maybe you would tell us what's a good cupcake to begin with.
Well, one of our favorite holidays is April Fool's Day, and we've got some really playful cupcake projects in that chapter. But we what starts is that I might have an idea or Alan might have an idea, and then we'll throw it back and forth together. And it will get to the point where I try to explain to him what I'm visualizing or vice versa. And then, oh, well, I thought you meant this. Oh, well, we could do this. So it's really, we build upon each other. We
brainstorm ideas until we make each other laugh.
Right.
And then we hope we make somebody else laugh, too.
And really, for people who are just cupcake beginners, one of our favorite projects is probably the spaghetti and meatballs. And it's so simple. It's basically four ingredients, including a cupcake. And it's your frosting that's tinted to that perfect semolina color. Put in your Ziploc bag and some low-sugar strawberry jam and a hazelnut chocolate candy, you know, the Ferrero Rocher, which are delicious candies, but, you know, they look like meatballs. And you toss that with the jam. You take a little corner from your Ziploc bag and just go crazy, just piping spaghetti all over the top of the cupcake. Let it hang off the side, and then you add your meatball and jam, and, you know, if you like some Parmesan cheese, gray a little white chocolate on top.
And it's so crazy.
And you know, our favorite is when we find a candy like that that speaks to us. Like the first time Karen showed me those, she unwrapped it from the foil and said, "What does this look like?" And I looked at her and said, "It's a meatball, of course." So a lot of times the candy inspires us. And
yeah.
Karen likes to call us candy detectives.
Yeah.
Because we go down all the stores and the aisles in the grocery store with the candy and the gas station candy. So we like those, like, convenience store sources for inspiration.
Yeah, so M&Ms are here, and Fruit Loops are here, and little bits of pretzel.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget those Twinkies.
Twinkies. The circus corn. Tell us how you use those circus peanuts.
Oh, circus peanuts.
Circus peanuts.
Are they just a blast from the past? Well, we use them. First of all, they come in several different colors. White, yellow, pink, and, you know, the all-time favorite, orange. And we use them in the circus for the clown's feet, but we also use them, the white ones, for bunny feet, to the horse's head. So it's just, you know, using kind of the same candy and familiar shapes, but maybe looking at them differently or cutting them in a different shape. So many candies can be rolled out and then transformed into thousands of other things, and that's the fun of it. It's you're not stuck with just one piece of candy.
Yeah, and donut holes are also another great building block.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we have some projects that are really, there's not much candy on it at all. It's maybe a cookie and a marshmallow and a couple of M&Ms for some eyes, but it's more the use of those few items and what you can do with them.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned the Ziploc bags. Tell us the tip you have for getting the batter into the paper-lined cupcake pans.
Well, for that, you know, you always need that third or fourth hand while you're in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And if I'm making the cupcakes, Alan's not there to hold the bag open for me. And so I've got a quart container that I take a quart Ziploc bag, or just make sure that you use the freezer weight bags, and I fold the edges over, and then that way you can take your batter and pour it into the bag, give it a little burp, zip it up, and then we snip a small corner, and almost like a machine, you just squeeze the batter into your paper-lined muffin pan, and that way you can really see that two-thirds cup of the batter that you've got in there, and it's not going to bake up all lopsided or flowing over the edge.
Do you use mixes and or ready-made frosting?
Yep. We're busy people. We know people are using the mixes. We have a bunch of delicious homemade recipes as well, both for batter, for the cupcakes, and for the frosting. But, you know, the mixes are great as well. We enhance the batter, the cake mix, with some buttermilk and an extra egg. And that makes it a little less sweet and a little firmer, which makes it great for cupcaking.
Okay. And before we go, you want to describe an appropriate cupcake for the season? I know you've got a turkey and you've got a pumpkin patch. What do you think?
Alan?
I think my favorite has to be Larry the Turkey.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. And, you know, you could turn any of your friends into a turkey. Just change the name.
And he is made out of a cupcake and a mini cupcake and a cookie and candy corn for his tail feathers.
Yep.
And he uses one of those ginger snaps with the scalloped edge for the tail, and has a candy corn at the top of each feather.
Yeah.
And we also want to let people know that if you, for example, if you don't like licorice, or if you can't find a certain candy, or you don't like a certain candy, that is where, you know, as Alan was saying, you become the candy detective, and there are so many other replacements that you can use that you can go out and find what's going to work best for you.
Yeah,
and I don't think we've ever done a cupcake the same way twice.
Mm-hmm. And I want to tell folks about your website, too, so they can get right on board here and find out what we've been talking about. www.hellocupcakebook.com. And the publisher of the book is Houghton Mifflin. Karen, Alan, thanks so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Thank you, Celeste.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. The authors of Hello Cupcake are Karen Tack and Alan Richardson.
Earth and Sky.
Today, a student from Brazil asks the scientists.
My name is Olivia Barbosa Klein. My question is, what are the consequences of polar melting?
Earth Sky asked Ginny Catania, a polar research scientist at the University of Texas.
Well, it's a really important question right now because the Earth is warming because of man-made activities. And the polar caps are very susceptible to that because if you put ice in a hot environment, it will melt.
She said polar ice caps could dump as much as 60 meters of cold water into the ocean.
And even in Rio, in Brazil, you'll have a big impact if you have that much ice melting. You'll have sea level rising quite a bit and the waterfront incurring inland quite a bit. And it can have a large impact on many cities around the world.
Catania said it's tricky to predict how warming, rising oceans will affect the very complex system that is our Earth.
A lot of unknowns still exist, but we do think that there'll be impacts to weather patterns, sea level rise, loss of habitat, and warming in the Arctic.
Consequences will be felt all over the world.
We're also intimately linked, and it kind of doesn't even matter where you're from anymore.
Our thanks today to the Monsanto Fund, bridging the gap between people and their resources. I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Illinois Disciples Foundation, a Peace with Justice campus ministry addressing human rights issues, including labor rights, health care justice, peace, and anti-war organizing. The Illinois Disciples Foundation is a member of Community Shares of Illinois.